7:42, I'm Bruce Van Dyke.
I'm Craig Adams.
It is the WEOL Morning Show. We'll get the latest from the Buckeyes with Chris Holtman. His daily show begins coming up right before the 8 o'clock hour. But right now, we're going to help you try to debunk some myths about EVs, electric vehicles. What do we think of them if you've not experienced it? And what are the things you've heard and you wonder about it? And here to help us with some information is Derek Sequeira. He is from GM Energy. Good morning, Derek. How are you today?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's EV myths. There's a lot of them. You hear things about them, and who knows where this information comes from. Maybe it's anecdotal. Maybe it's just people wondering, how does it work? But one of the first things when you talk about EVs, electric vehicles, is you think, well, how far can I get on a charge? Is that practical? What's the statement related to that one?
Yeah, so electric vehicles have come a long way. You know, gone are the days where range may have been an issue. But now, as newer vehicles come out that are giving you, you know, around 300 miles of range on average, like our Cadillac Lyriq or Chevrolet Blazer, you know, you're talking about a vehicle that I can feel comfortable in going on some of those longer trips. Like for me in Southeast Michigan, I feel very comfortable making it over to Cleveland to see you.
When you're driving an electric vehicle, do you become more conscious of where charging stations might be? I don't, so I don't even pay attention. I wonder if it becomes a little more hypersensitive, or you have an idea of where they're located.
That is the best part. Driving an electric vehicle, you will learn how to find these public chargers. And we've made it super easy for customers to be able to figure it out. Right in the palm of their hands within their vehicle app, my Chevrolet, my Cadillac, a customer has the ability to go in and route plan how they can get from A to B, and at the same time be able to see the different public charging options we have throughout the state of Ohio or the country. We have over 164,000 different options all within the palm of your hand that you can get to using the route planning feature. So it's something that may not be inherent now, but as you get into an electric vehicle and start learning more about the different features, you'll get used to it very quickly.
In this country, we have very cold weather in the winter in the north, very hot weather in the south in the summer. How does this impact the massive batteries that power these vehicles?
Yeah, so there is definitely a correlation between the climate and the battery. So what we are teaching our customers is that you have the range available and you are going to see some degradation, you know, in, say, cold weather, right? Like what we're experiencing now in the Midwest. But there are tips and tricks that you can get into that'll help you out and make sure that you can extend the range of that battery, such as remote starting your vehicle, preconditioning the cabin, running at an optimal temperature that will get your range back to where you're used to on a regular sunny day.
One more about the batteries. They do contain an assortment of different chemicals. What happens to these batteries when they basically expire in the vehicle?
Yeah, so battery chemistry and metals are very complex. They're minerals that, you know, come from different sources. And as a battery gets used through a vehicle, we believe that the battery is going to outlast someone actually using the vehicle. So we think there's a ton of life in the battery to begin with. And that's backed behind the battery warranty that we have. However, after it's done in a vehicle, we think there are also other uses for that battery. While it may not be suitable for propelling a car or a crossover vehicle, there may be alternate uses for that battery, such as stationary storage or powering small crafts. So those are things that our team is looking at such that we can get a second life out of this battery.
Talking this morning with Derek Sequeira, director of GM Energy, a little bit about electric vehicles, EVs, and maybe some myths you've heard and things that we can explain. We hear sometimes a lot about accidents or fires or things like that occurring related to electric vehicles. How true is that, and what's the situation right now?
Yeah, so a lot of that is untrue, unfounded within social media. What we are doing is ensuring that our technicians and first responders are trained in the event that there are fires or whatnot, but there is no higher risk of a fire compared to a internal combustion engine vehicle.
What about related to its impact on the environment? EVs seem to be the way to go because then it prevents all of the exhaust that's created by the internal combustion engine and all of that that's infecting the environment. People sometimes say, well, to create the batteries and or to do that sort of thing, you're still using a lot of other energy to make that. What are your ways to talk about that? What are your myths busting for that one?
Yeah, so while there may be some extra processing involved to be able to manufacture batteries, the overall assembly of an electric vehicle is much more simple than its internal combustion engine counterpart. But you hit it already. The biggest problem we have with the internal combustion engine vehicles are tailpipe emissions. Right away, as soon as you drive an electric vehicle off a lot, you are negating tailpipe emissions. And over the course of a lifetime of that vehicle, you're going to end up winning. I've also heard the myth that, okay, well, there's no tailpipe emissions, but generating this electricity is dirty. And yes, in some areas, there are grid generation that is focused more on fossil fuel than renewables. But what we're seeing across the U.S. is the shift to more renewable energy generation. And in some areas, utilities are actually making it cheaper to charge your electric vehicle when their grids are running green. So there's a lot of optimism out there when it comes to utilities and the way that we are generating power.
This may not be something you could answer. What demographic is embracing the EVs? Is there anyone out there, or is it just sort of a general across the board?
Yeah, so at first it was really that tech adopter that was getting into electric vehicles. But now as we look at industry trends, EVs as a percentage of total sales is continuously growing. So that is pointing in the direction of it's starting to become mainstream, because now you can go out in your parking lot or your subdivision and see others having electric vehicles. And I think there's a bit of a mind shift change where you see that and now you start to realize, hey, maybe an electric vehicle might be right for me. And for those that are on the fence, we've developed a really cool virtual tool, EV Live. EVLive.gm.com is an amazing resource where anyone can dial in, have a one-to-one session with an EV specialist to learn more about not electric vehicle products, but the electric vehicle lifestyle. EV 101, so the basics, understanding batteries, trying to figure out how to get to public charging stations. You've got an EV specialist available to help walk you through it. So if you haven't had a chance to take a look at that, I really encourage you to log in.
And where is that? What's the website?
evlive.gm.com.
Sounds good. Well, our guest this morning is the director of GM Energy, Derek Sequeira. Derek, you've answered a lot of great questions for us. You got us thinking about electric vehicles this morning. Appreciate your time.